Hi, I'm John Paul, and thank you for coming to my channel. Videos of all of the audios that are on this podcast are on my YouTube channel, which is at John Paul Davis TTP. So do take a look at that. There's also a couple of additional videos which haven't made it on as audios to this podcast as well, which you might find helpful or interesting. If you do like the YouTube channel, please do subscribe. That would be amazing. Also, in terms of this podcast, it'd be great if you could follow it, and you'll, of course, then be notified of any future episodes. Also, if you do like the podcast, if you could give it a rating or review, I'd be really grateful. That would be wonderful. And finally, just to say, if there's anything you want to discuss following this podcast, or anything you hear on any of the other podcasts as well, then please do, of course, get in contact with me via my website, www.thistrustedplace.co.uk. There should be a link to that on this podcast page. Thanks again for coming to the channel, and I really hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, I'm John Paul, and a really warm welcome back to my channel. Today I'm going to do a video answering the question, should I become a therapist? It's a question that a lot of people, of course, coming into the profession will be asking themselves. The questions that come through from people on this channel and interactions that I have with people, they're obviously trying to work that out. So that's what this video is about, of course, which everybody knows, that the decision to whether to become a therapist or not is absolutely only something that that person can answer. You know, nobody else has a crystal ball. Everybody's unique and different, therefore nobody can make decisions for anybody else. Having said that, we are, of course, all human beings, and it's not all kind of magical mystery. There are definitely themes that follow through all human beings, whatever somebody's race, gender, socioeconomic group, age, you know, whether somebody lives in the Arctic or the Red Centre in Australia. There are definitely themes very much relevant to that question of should I firstly become, which is part, the first part of that question, should I become a therapist? And secondly, specifically to do with being a therapist, becoming a therapist too. So I'm going to talk about both of those things, really first focusing on the kind of becoming side of things, and then looking at specifically being a therapist. And that's based on my experience, and also things I've heard from others too throughout over 10 years now. Just before I do that, I just wanted to say a little bit about what's coming up. I've just recorded a video about narcissism. So a third video about narcissism, you'll see in the list. I've done video one and two. The first two videos, one of them is about what to do if you're in a relationship with somebody who has narcissistic traits up high. The other one is also, again, about narcissism, but it's about what happens if you have those traits up high yourself, and are there ways to sort of turn the traits down, turn the gas down on that. What I've done for the third video is speak to somebody called Darren McGee. He's a psychotherapist, and he has his own YouTube channel, very successful YouTube channel on here. So if you have a look at Darren McGee, psychotherapist, his channel covers a really wide range of mental health issues, but he's focused on narcissism and things that he calls the sort of dark personality. It was really great to speak to him. We talk about what narcissism is. We talk about what it's like being in a relationship with somebody who is narcissistic, because there's not a lot of material about this in my experience, looking at what happens if you have those traits up high. You know, how can you help yourself? That will be coming out soon. And then I'm also doing a third video on around bisexuality as well, or planning to do that certainly. And I think the way that's going to be structured is to read somebody's story. So people have kindly written in their stories, and my plan is to read that out on here, to make a comment or two about it myself, and then to hand it over to you to see what other people, you know, how their experience relates, and if they have any suggestions and that kind of thing. That's going to be coming up soon. Of course, I'm also talking to people about different conversations. I'm looking to speak to somebody who no longer wants to be a therapist, or decided not to do that anymore. I just thought that would be really interesting from the point of view of balance. I don't hear that very much, which actually comes into this question of should I become a therapist. It's very infrequent in my experience that you hear somebody who becomes a therapist and then decides not to be, but I'm sure those people are out there. And also to speak to people who have more challenges around it, or find more challenges around it, whether that's the kind of financial thing, how they manage their careers. So I'm going to be doing some more of that as well. Please do like this video if you do find it helpful. Please do make any comments below. I always love to hear your comments and input. Also, with any suggestions for any future ideas for videos, please do share the videos. If you think anybody else will be interested in them, please subscribe if you haven't already. So let's move on to the subject itself, or the question itself, or the big question for some people of should I become a therapist? Focusing first on this idea of becoming, my understanding of becoming, the word becoming, is that it means to change into or emerge. I think in all human beings, there is this intrinsic drive in us to become, to emerge, to change into. I'm going to focus on the theory around this. You may have seen in other videos, you'll be familiar that I quite like the model with human beings. It's very relevant to this, both to becoming, but also specifically to becoming a therapist, the model where we have three main parts. The first one is that place of survival where fear and anger sit. You might say threat. It's one to keep us alive. That's all it does. And it's about solving problems, identifying problems. So that's the first one. We have to meet that first because in order to take care of any of our other needs, we have to be alive. So we're programmed to be dominated by that. Secondly, I think that's the need we meet next. That will be the one which is about the drives and the motivations and reward. So the thing is about competing, having more than our neighbours. You know, historically, from an evolutionary point of view, probably the people that were more successful are the ones that had more, competed more, won. So it's absolutely the place of more stuff, more status, more money, competition, better than, less than, superiority, inferiority, about what other people think of us, how we prove ourselves to other people, striving through life, looking for a greater status at work, looking for more money at work, a greater bonus, those kind of things. So very helpful, very useful from the point of view of moving us through life, making life exciting. However, the really significant thing about it, it's never enough. Of course, once we have a new car, initially we'll feel good about that. There's a temporary high, but over time we'll need another new one. Once we've got that bonus, the next time we're going to need another bonus. It's sort of the highs that come from it. They are temporary, they always fade away, and we'll always need more. Now, the third part, which is the place that I'm going to focus on a lot here in the context of becoming and particularly being a therapist, is that place of connection, with self and others. And I believe that's the place where human beings are happiest. I believe that's where meaning and fulfillment and purpose sit, is the place of connection with ourselves, a really grounded sense of our worth and value, self-care, taking care of ourselves, a self-confident person, somebody with self-esteem. If you're looking at relationships with others, it's the place of connected, loving, supportive, nurturing relationships with other people. It's the place of connection with our environment, love of things, pets, of course, being loved by, feeling part of, as we say, teams, the wider community, communities at work, and looking around at nature and feeling like we are part of it. So as the word connection would suggest, it's that place very much of feeling connected to self, very much of feeling connected to others. And I think that that place of connection is the one where there is the most sustained, sustainable, sustaining sense of well-being for human beings. If you're looking at survival, it's very much fear and anger. The best you get there is you realize you're going to stay alive, which is very significant. That's relief you would have there. As far as the drives, you get a temporary high, as I say. If you're looking at a good connected relationship with self, good connected relationships with others and the environment, it's a constant, continuing source of well-being. Now, survival, drives, connection, they're all a part of life. It's important to have them in life to some degree because we need to stay alive with survival. As I say, the drives drive us through life and, you know, it's motivating and exciting. But what often happens for people is I think we're dominated by survival because we're programmed to be. And then often people will use the drives to compensate for the fear and anger that they experience being in survival a lot of the time. So they go to needing more money, needing more status, needing a new job, needing to really preoccupy, needing to win in relation to neighbours and that kind of thing. And what can happen is that takes the energy because you can only be in one at a time. It takes the energy out of that place of connection where I think the most sustained sense of happiness and well-being is. And if you're looking at the becoming, I think the intrinsic drive in human beings, once survival is met, once we've sort of had enough of certain things or reached certain levels as far as the drives and money and status, is that we will always move to wanting something else and more, and the kind of meaning and fulfillment and purpose that comes with and only comes with that sense of connection, occupying that place of connection in ourselves and being with people who are equally occupying that place of connection. Now, of course, it's absolutely not possible for human beings to constantly occupy that place. We have complicated lives. And as I say, we need fear and anger sometimes to protect us. We need the drives, which is sort of yearning, frustration, satisfaction, those kind of things. They're a part of an emotional life for human beings and a rich emotional life. Because we meet them in order, what can often happen is there's a domination by the first two. I think what becoming is for people, what we're often trying to get towards, is really occupying that place of connection with self and others much more. Because I think we also know as people that when we occupy that place, it meets our needs top down. So when we feel connected to ourselves, when we feel good about ourselves, whole, self-satisfaction, self-confidence, and when we feel like we love and are loved by others or pets or feel at one with our environment, you know, feel like we have meaning and purpose, then of course we feel connected. So it's meeting the connection need. It's also rewarding. So it meets the reward need and we feel safe. So it meets the survival need. When people feel connected, you might say, you know, if they're in love with someone and loved by somebody, they feel safe in the world. So occupying that place more actually meets all needs kind of top down. So becoming, I think that's, as I said, an intrinsic part of human beings. I think that's something we're all aiming towards. I suppose it might be called self-actualization, but that's very much, I think, what human beings are trying to do a lot of the time. As I said, we realize that over time with the drives, you know, more of this, more of that just isn't quite going to do it. Staying in survival all of the time, we burn out over time. It's only through connection that we have that sustaining experience of ourselves and the world. Now, how is this all relevant to becoming a therapist and being people's therapist? Well, to me, being a therapist really is concentrated connection. I think being a therapist, sort of training to be a therapist, being people's therapist, running a practice, again, to me, is connection with wings in some ways. What it is that we're trying to do with clients in practice, I think, is to establish and maintain connected relationships with people. Of course, no relationship is going to be constantly characterized by being in a state of connection all the time. But I think that is what is trying to be facilitated, encouraged both in ourselves and also with clients in terms of good therapeutic relationships too. So if you're looking at being a therapist, one of the main things that it's doing, that I suppose that I love about it and the reason that I do, is that actually it is meaning that I'm directed to occupy that connection part of myself, which is the place that often human beings want to move into. If I had to look at some specific examples here, I mean, I've talked in other videos, you know, five great reasons to become a therapist, the one where I talk about why I changed career from law to therapy and things I wish I knew before I became a therapist. There's quite a lot of places. And of course, listening to the conversations with other therapists too, quite a lot of times where I'm talking about what I love about it. And those will often be connecting things. And perhaps now if I talk about some of those things that have come from being people's therapists, and you can see how they're very much about that place of connection, just to describe some of them, that truly connected relationships are some of life's best experiences. And it's often reflected in what people will say are their most important values. Often what people will say that people are, relationships are. They may also say that their own mental health and emotional well-being is an important value for them. But the fact that people say other people are, family relationships, whatever that might be, is really, I think, indicative of the fact that we know that a sort of deeper level, that our happiness, so sustained happiness or otherwise, it is relationships with others, good connected relationships with others, that are the greatest experiences in life and give us that sense of meaning and purpose in life. There's often this talk of work-life balance and having a work-life balance in life. I used to think about that before I became a therapist, but what that seems to suggest to me is that work is something that's stressful and difficult, and you therefore need life outside with the sort of reward, relaxation types of things to counterbalance it in order to regulate yourself. Actually, You know, if you're looking at this situation where what's being facilitated and where I am more often than not trying to occupy, I suppose, is that connection part of myself, that feels good. Of course, there are difficulties along the way, and I'll just mention those very quickly, some of those in a minute. But largely, if what we're looking at and what happens in reality is good, connected relationships, it means there isn't a need, because that feels good, that's a good experience, there isn't a need to constantly have to compensate for it outside of work. They complement each other. So good co-regulating relationships as a therapist enhances relationships outside. Good relationships outside enhance the capacity to have a co-regulating relationship within the therapy room. A second connection principle, that the true measure of success is a regulated, sort of calm and alive nervous system. The measure of success as far as threat is going to be to stay alive. The measure of success, which is the one we will often talk about and we hear about in the drives, is going to be material status, wealth, those kind of things, bigger, better. Again, all important, good stuff that enriches life. But actually, if you're looking at connection, and because it's the thing that facilitates a good connected relationship with self and other people, it's a regulated nervous system. It's that calm and alive nervous system, a capacity to remain in a regulated place largely, because in that place we can establish and maintain relationships with people. In that place we're not going to be overly impulsive. In that place we can make kind of expansive decisions and choices in life that are going to serve us. More kind of connection principles that I just wanted to talk about here that have come through being people's therapist would be that idea about relaxation through tearfulness in some ways, or connection with self and others through tearfulness. The reason I say this, I was recently listening to an audiobook which was about empathy. And it was interesting because the person that was talking about it said she noticed that in lots of kind of guided meditations, they made people relax by making them sad. And I think actually, when you think about it, that I can see why that is, because I think what happens with sadness, with self-sorrow, with sorrow for others, that's very much about that place of connection with self and others. And it is in that place of connection with self and others that we feel regulated, that we feel much more grounded. And it's an indicator, for example, if we're tearful, that some people are experiencing tears of joy, which is very much that place of connection. People will cry if they talk about love. Again, very much that place of connection with self and others. And they may cry if they're feeling self-sorrow or sorrow for others. Again, it's going to be that place of connection. So to me, you know, tears can really indicate that place of being connection, which is something that's come through being people's therapist. More on that place of connection and being people's therapist, connecting on the basis of emotions. I did a video about things I wish I knew before I became a therapist. And one of them was in response to somebody saying, how do you work with difference? Now, I forgot to say in that video, so that's the reason for saying it now, actually, that no matter what age somebody is, gender, personality type, introvert, extrovert, socioeconomic group, no matter what, all human beings can connect and understand each other on the basis that we all have an emotional experience. I mean, there are some people who don't have emotions. It's a sort of psychiatric diagnosed condition as well. But mostly, you know, human beings all know what it's like to be annoyed at something, know what it's like to love and be loved, or to have dreams, daydreams, to be satisfied, disappointed, frustrated. So we can connect with anybody on that level. You know, if you look at the kind of survival part and the drives part, if you look at the survival part, it's very much about fear and anger. So it's disconnected from other people. Is somebody dangerous or not? If you look at the drives, it's very much superior, inferior. Am I better than, am I not? It's about comparisons with other people. Well, actually, in that connected part, you know, we can really see, and that happens, that something that's come from being people's therapists is you can really see that you can connect with someone on the basis that we all experience emotions. As I say, we all understand what it's like to be annoyed or to be in love. I remember somebody saying to me, he was training to be a therapist. He was, gosh, I don't know, late 20s, something like that, and said, what will it be like? And he was worried about sitting with somebody who's the age of his father, because I suppose he was thinking about that dynamic, that power dynamic. How could those two connect? But I think, you know, on the basis that, well, 28-year-old, you get annoyed about things, and love, you might get annoyed about different things, love different things, but so does that man who's the age of your father as well. And we can connect and understand and empathize, I think, with all human beings on that level. And then lastly, you just to say about, you know, being a therapist and how I think it enhances that place of connection, and the effect of that being in that place of connection as well on the other parts of us, is that very much being in that place of connection, if you're looking at the financial thing, which does, you know, the drives, which does concern a lot of people practically when they're coming into the profession, my experience has been that occupying more in that place of connection drive hands over to it. So you worry less about how much money you need, or needing more and more money, or more status, because actually you're feeling good because of a good relationship with yourself and other people. In fact, what can happen is that the drives and reward side of things gets hooked onto connection. So it's driving for connection, rather than the other way around, where someone is dominated by the drives and reward, and they'll just be going for connection, trying to be nice to people in order to get a promotion or make more money. So connection would be serving the drives. Actually, I think you can get into a situation, certainly in my experience as far as being a therapist, where what happens is that the drives work for connection. And from that place, it's much easier to know when's enough. The difficulty with the drives is that it's never enough in some ways, that they won't do that themselves. They'll just keep wanting more and more and more. When you occupy that place of connection, when you get more enjoyment, satisfaction, more meaning and fulfillment in life, the striving, the need to push forward, the sort of desperate need for more, it just dissipates over time. Similarly, the kind of, you know, fear and imagination of survival, the monsters under the bed, and that dissipates as well over time, because they get to hand over to something that's going to keep you safe, that's going to keep you rewarded, that's going to keep you connected much more, that place of connection with self and others. And as I say, I think all the time that's what's trying to be facilitated in therapy. That is what a good long-term sustained relationship in therapy is, because it's a connected relationship. It's because you're in that place with connection, and so is the other person more often than not. And you know, once that drives place is working for connection, once you feel much more in alignment, once you feel much less internally conflicted, momentum builds up. And that does tend to build up, I think, for people, you know, when they do the training, when they start to go into practice as well, because they occupy this place of connection much more, because it feels much more a place of fulfillment, much more a place of contentment. That builds up momentum over time. You don't even have to think as much about managing the fear, about managing the sort of what's enough part for the drives. It just of itself, when you occupy that place more, it builds up momentum. You know, if there's things that you need to do for the business, because it's like an intrinsic place that people want to get to and occupy, you know, when your work aligns with a meaningful purpose, distractions sort of fall away. It's not always going to be like that, but that definitely happens more often. But I did say that I'd mention a bit something about the challenges. The general gist of this, as you can see, should I become a therapist? Very much the inevitability of becoming. It's what human beings want to do. And if you're looking at therapy, you know, occupying that place of connection, it literally does that. Yes, there are struggles and challenges along the way. That's life, isn't it? You know, just to mention a few quickly here, I suppose the process of training, you know, it can be expensive for people. It can be time consuming. There are things that perhaps you need to learn which don't connect with you. There are all sorts of things that people go through during that training process with other people that they can struggle with, which is why people have therapy during it. So that can be a challenging process. Of course, once you qualify, depending on what you choose to do, if you choose to be in private practice, there's running your own business. That's wonderful, with the choice that comes with that, the choosing who you work with, you know, the times that you work, to the extent that that's possible in early stages. But also, of course, it's just you. If as I say, you're doing private practice yourself, and that's challenging. You know, if the economic climate changes, you know, what should you do? What direction should you take it in? All those things can be challenging. You know, I do some work with the media, do some corporate work. There are some lovely connected people in there that it feels good to work with. There are also, and I would say more than in the therapy world, certainly in a corporate environment, there's more likelihood that you'll be with those, working with those people who occupy much more that place of drive, where there may be, like, empathy might be a bit compromised, may not be the top value. So, you know, there are difficulties doing that too. Working with clients, of course, largely, as I've said, good relationships are life's best experiences. I do not do something now which I need to compensate for outside of work at all. It's something that enhances my life. But as with all human beings, you know, there's always can be difficulties in relationship. You know, a lot of people or some people come into therapy because they've been really hurt, and hurt people hurt people sometimes. Not everybody is willing or able to metaphorically take your hand in terms of a therapeutic relationship. Well, I think most people are able from the point of view of us being very plastic in terms of our brains and our beings, but sometimes people just aren't willing to. And if you're looking at moving much more into this place of connection and the qualities that come with that, the kind of compassion, boundaries, empathy, those sorts of qualities, some people just don't value them. You know, they've driven their way through life to great success materially, financially, and the fanfare that they get for it, that there isn't really a need or want or drive for them, because it, you know, the skills and qualities are very different, I think, in connection often. In fact, they can contradict the kind of skills and qualities that people need for the drives. So not everybody is going to want to do that, even if they sort of see that that might be more helpful for them. But just going back to the beginning, absolutely, I think if we're looking at becoming, I think becoming is being much more in that place of connection with self and others. What that looks like for a human being, for one person, it's going to be a therapist. For another person, it will be being creative and art. For another person, it will be all sorts of things, working the third sector, whatever it might be. The way that connection is going to manifest and look in each individual is going to be different. If you're looking specifically at therapy, as I say, for me, it is concentrated at connection. And how do you decide? How do you know? Well, I would let yourself be drawn to it by noticing what connection feels like in your body, knowing what that feels like when you feel connected to someone, to a thing, to an activity, to something that you're listening to, and then go towards that and then listen to that. You know, you're listening and watching this video, you're listening and watching this channel. So I would suggest there is something in that situation that is drawing you to that place of connection in the context of, or being a therapist or becoming a therapist. So listen to yourself whilst you're listening to other people and watching other people and talking to other people. I have said this in other videos as well, but really try to connect with as many people as you can on this journey and see what it is that makes you come alive. And if talking about a particular type of therapy, theory, attachment theory, whatever it is, just see if that's the thing that does that for you. Meet other therapists, see what it feels like around therapists, see if that's the place that you feel safe, rewarded, connected. And I would say, you know, it's never too late, you're never too old, you're never too young. As I've said about this place of connection, I think, you know, it's very much where human beings, whoever, wherever, what age, whatever their political preferences or the amount of money that they have or their gender or whatever it might be, that is the place where most human beings have a sense of fulfillment, wherever they are in life. I think connection is a basic human truth that works for all human beings. So I hope that's been helpful, interesting for you. As I said at the beginning, please do put any comments underneath that you would like to. Let me know what you think of things, whether you agree, disagree, have any other ideas. I'd love to hear from you. As I've said, there are going to be plenty of other videos coming up soon. Thank you for watching and listening, and I shall see you again soon.